This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 12th, episode 1696, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll.
Let the good time roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good time roll.
Don't sit there mumbling. Good Friday morning to everyone. How are you doing, Glenn? Are you together? Do you got it? Are you good?
It was one of those mornings. It's a Friday. Technology's
right
not working.
Before the show starts, yes. Glenn says, I need a strawberry daiquiri. men typically, if you're like, I need a drink, most don't say strawberry daiquiri.
No,
most
love
are like,
daiquiris.
I need a bourbon. No, you're like, I need a strawberry
daiquiri. What do you think's in strawberry daiquiris?
Rum.
See?
The girly one?
No, that's a manly drink. Rum. Rum's a manly drink. Pirates drink rum.
Oh, my God.
Captain
please.
Jack Sparrow probably drank strawberry daiquiris.
I'm pretty sure he drank rum out of the bottle. So
with a little
that.
Daiquiri mixed in.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good Friday. Glenn wants to start drinking already, and you really don't even really drink. So
yeah, that's right.
Hey, I have a minor retort that I would like to provide right now. And it's peaceful and it's nice because I listened to the show yesterday when Mary Kitzmiller was talking about having a bunch of English people see on the auditor's page. Okay, see on the auditor's page somebody roping a hind leg and how important that was for training. And these English people were concerned, and she was very sweet about it and did not rip me. But basically, I posted a picture of Buck Brandeman tied up a horse's leg or had roped a horse's hind leg. And I was like, on the auditor's page, I was like, since this is a safe place and I can trust all of you, how come you have to rope a horse's hind leg? And we got a million different things. All these Western folk came in and said, made different comments, and Mary was one of them. And so I just wanted to let you Western people know why us English people think you Western people are a little difficult at times and a little hard on the horses. And I'm going to give you an exact example. Do we have a second here, Glenn? Are you with me? Are you listening?
I'm listening, but I didn't want
nervous?
To do this on a Friday. No, go ahead.
Are you No. This is just something I had to get off my chest, Ben. And Mary's amazing. And I actually love the way that she trains. And I think what she was saying was really wonderful. What happened yesterday was I was talking to my neighbor two houses down, and they have a horse that they recently bought. And the horse they recently bought apparently doesn't lead very well and is kind of all over you all the time. And basically, the former owner gave it apple treats and apple pies. And so this horse is like all over them. So they take it to a well-known, successful Western horse trainer in my neighborhood. So, he's a cowboy, and he's like, yeah, we told her how we said, how do I get this horse off of me? I don't understand. It's just on me all the time. And he looks at me and he goes, you're never going to believe what she did. She turned around and hauled off and kicked that horse right in the chest and said, that's how you get it off of you. Ah, ha, ha, isn't that funny? And I was like, no, No, that's not funny at all. That's not how you do it. And you don't just, and this is a very well-known Western trainer in my neighborhood. And I was like, please don't let somebody kick your toe, like with the toe of her boot right in the horse's chest. And so that to me, obviously Mary Kitzmiller would never do something like that. But in my world of what I've seen on the fray of Western horse training, that was an example that I was provided yesterday. So yes, when I see a picture of somebody roping a horse's foot, I definitely get a little bit nervous and get a little bit concerned that something inappropriate is going on. And that's all I'm going to say about that, Glenn. But I know that Mary's not going to have a retort to that because there's no reason.
On the other side, I have seen very well-known English trainers do the very same thing.
And that's exactly true. I've never seen an English person rope a horse's leg, but that's because
I have certainly seen him whack on horses. So I don't think
I have too, Glenn. Yeah. It's not a Western thing.
I don't think that's an English Western thing. I think that's
a poor horsemanship.
Yeah, there you go. That's good.
And I definitely understand that. But when I get accosted for saying these English people saw this thing go on, I wanted to say that this is sometimes the example and the mindset that I have with a lot of the Western type training. I've never seen anybody that I've trained with kick a horse at all ever, but apparently it could happen in both. And I understand that. But I just had to bring that up because I felt like I didn't feel attacked per se, but I just felt a little bit.
But
like,
she never used your name. And if you hadn't brought it up this morning, nobody would know.
What am I, an idiot?
No, but nobody would know who it was if you hadn't brought it up this morning. I'm just making that point.
The 250 auditors knew. They knew exactly who she was talking about. And that's fine.
The 10,000 listeners know.
I know. That's totally fine. And I love Mary. And I think she's a wonderful trainer. She's going to pick up.
And I think what they said, as long as you're well-trained and know what you're doing when you do it, and they gave a very good explanation for it.
I would like to put out that I still find there's no reason ever to do that. But carrying on, we're not going to do on today's show. Let's go straight to the Daily Winnies.
Okay. Daily Winnie. Call me off guard. Well, my Daily Winnie is a happy one.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Well, happy birthday to Elizabeth Muller, who was at Rolex. We got to meet her, then went to badminton, and now is in Iceland. This girl is getting around. She's awesome. Posting all kinds of pictures from Iceland. So good for
That's
her.
Awesome.
That is awesome. And we also have a new auditor. Tara Tibbetts is a new auditor this week. Thank you so much, Tara. Go ahead and search for HRN Auditors, and you can join the Facebook room that apparently is so popular and likes to pick on Jamie. And then and then Laura Berry and Joy Orr increased their pledges significantly. So thank you to both of them. We really appreciate that.
And Tara, right? You have Tara down here, too.
Yeah, I said Tara Tibbetts was new. She's new. And we appreciate her. Do you have a Daily Winnie?
I do. It'll be quick.
Okay.
It'll be
no
peaceful.
Problem. Okay. I'll let you talk. You.
What were you going to say?
I said after my 2 days, I just want to talk about silly stuff from now on.
Okay. Well, this is kind of silly.
I almost closed the Horse Radio Network yesterday.
Oh, give it over. Just let go. I got an email from Brooke. It says, hello there. You're getting this email because you expressed great interest in taking on the 2017 Mongol Derby. We're pleased to announce that this year's Derby has sold out. Maybe you got cold feet. Maybe you couldn't scrape the pennies together on time, or maybe you found out about it too late, but it seems 2017 isn't the year for you. We'd love to see you reapply for the 2018 Derby. If you want me to shoot you a message when applications open up, let me know. The 2017 Derby is shaping up to be a corker. You can follow all the action on the tracking system and gives me a link to it. Sincerely, cheers, Brooke from The Adventurists. Let me tell you something, Brooke. I tried to go to the Mongol Derby. It wasn't that I couldn't get the pennies together or I got cold feet. You guys never wrote me back because apparently you don't want some mother of some young child out there on the course. And Leslie,
well, it sounds like they assumed that you did get an invite.
I know. I think maybe they just sent that to everybody, but I wanted Brooke to know that clearly I did not get an invitation.
You're going to be building a farm. It's not a good year to go anyway. Although it could have been funny seeing you and Leslie. I might have bought a plane ticket over to see that.
That was why I wanted to go. It would have been so fun. Are you kidding me? We'd have loved each other or killed each other by the end of that
$13,000, and then the flights are like $6,000. I mean, it's incredibly expensive.
You know, American Airlines flies directly into that city.
Really?
God, I'd be fine. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
There's like two flights to fly into that city, and they're one of them.
You know, it would be worth marrying an American Airlines employee just for the year, and then divorcing them after the fact just to get that flight for free.
Yeah, there you go.
You make great sense, Jennifer. They also, oddly enough, that when you adopt a kid from Ethiopia, you have to fly twice to Addis Ababa. And let me tell you, the one airline that flies directly into Addis Ababa. American baby! That's right.
Well, let's get our guest on here, seeing that we're all in moods here this Friday. We have Chelsea on. We have one of our terrific auditors, Chelsea Sievers, who we've known for years, and we got to see at Rolex as well. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Jamie. Hi, Jen.
She's as cute as she sounds, by the way.
Yeah, she is. She's adorable. And she is coming to us direct.
I'm on vacation.
She's coming to us direct from the Jiffy Lube. So that's a first.
Yes.
And now the reason we're having you on is twofold. One is to congratulate you. You are now officially a doctor, a PhD.
I am indeed.
I'm glad to know you're a doctor because I have this like tickle in the back of my throat. And I just, is that, no, that's not. Oh,
that's
sorry.
Irritation, Jamie. That's irritation.
Jamie, I work on the other end. I work on colorectal cancer, so I can't help you at the top.
Do you have any problems there, Jamie?
We'll talk later. I'll send you some photos. I've got questions.
Okay.
You asked for that one. Well, this is great. Now, you've been working in your field for a while in the lab. What does this mean now?
So what this means now is I'm sort of like a baby scientist, really. So I finished up sort of like my basic training part. And so I'm on what's called the career path to be a physician scientist. So I am now doing my clinical training. So I will actually start medical school now in August. So I have the sort of research component. Now they got to train me how to do the research. Or once I know how to do the research, now I got to get trained on how to deal with people. So that's sort of what's next for me. But in the sort of meantime, I'm off for a little bit, which is, I think, really exciting as a horse girl.
Well, yeah, you got a whole summer off, right?
Yeah, I have until August 21st off. So it's like my equestrian sabbatical I've been kind of laughing about.
Now, let me get this right. I wasn't too good at the whole college thing. So you've gone to college, and now you've gone to college a lot more to get your PhD, and now you have to go back to college?
Yeah. So I have a 4-year bachelor's degree from Iowa State University in genetics. I then spent 5 years doing my PhD in pathology at the University of Wisconsin. And now I will spend another 4 years working on my MD at the University of Wisconsin.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of years.
Eventually, I will graduate and be a grown-up, but that is not today.
Okay. Jamie, are you feeling dumb right now? I'm kind of...
No, yeah. You know what? You know, I hear her talking, and I'm like, talk, 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 talk. And then I think about the student loans.
That's what I was thinking,
must
too.
Have.
Yeah, there's that. There is that.
So I may be dumb, but I'm not broke. So I don't have super loan debt.
Well, the PhD is great because they actually pay you because you're doing work for the university. So there is debt, but not during the PhD part. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that's not as bad as you might think. Yeah.
God, that's a lot of years, and I could never do it. I would have been bored after a year or two. I would have never done it for, well, wait a minute, 4, 8. You're going to be in school for 13 years in college.
Yep.
Plus the 18.
Yep.
Plus the 18. That's a lot of freaking years. Wow.
It is a 12. Very long path. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time. Well, congratulations on now we can call you Dr. Chelsea. Do you make the other half call you Dr. Chelsea?
Just for the first day, but he then insisted that I must call him Master Ryan. He has his master's degree, and I'm not sure we liked that.
That's kind of funny.
All I could think of, like, hello, doctor. Please come in. Yes, have a seat. Let me take your temperature. Like, I don't want to know what you and your husband do. It's fine. Yes, master. See you, doctor. Oh, I can just go on for days.
Do you call your husband captain?
Quickly.
Do you call him Captain Chad?
Well, he's not a captain, so I have to call him Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh, well, I actually meant for the airline's captain, but
He's only first officer, so that's
a demotion from Lieutenant Colonel. You don't.
I know.
Anyway, congratulations, Chelsea. Do you want to hang around? We're going to have some fun this morning. It's been way too serious already on a Friday. So I thought, I'm sick of talking about horses this week. And I also thought, when I saw that you had the summer off and you were going to come on the show this morning, how about I give you some ideas of places to go this summer and things to do?
That sounds good.
Okay, because I have found a list of the weirdest summer festivals, and I want to ask you and Jamie whether you would go to these, whether these would be ones you would attend.
Okay.
And I thought,
are Chelsea and I going together, or?
Well, some of these you may not want to, and some you might. There might be safety in numbers. We'll see.
Okay.
So it's one of the other.
Good answer.
So the first one is very appropriate for horse people, and we should all be going. It's in Avon, Ohio. It's June the 17th through the 19th, and it's the Duct Tape Festival. Shouldn't we all, as horse people, be going to? Who knows more about duct tape than us? Well, they
you
have.
You know what? I bet that I can beat. True. I can beat Michael Young at making a duct tape boot.
I bet you could. I bet you could. They have a duct yep. tape parade where all the floats are made out of duct tape. They have a duct tape beauty pageant where you actually make your clothing out of duct tape. Now, that's much easier since the colored clothing. I imagine it was all pretty boring when it was all like silver duct tape. So I think that's much easier.
I think that was the cool thing. There was a phase in like junior high where it was the cool thing to do is to make a duct tape wallet. I don't know what that says about my junior high, but it was definitely an in thing.
It says you grew up in Wisconsin, is what it says.
Right.
Yeah.
So would you go? Chelsea? Going to the duct tape festival?
Probably not. I think I would pass.
Okay. No. Yeah. Both of you are out for that one. All right. How about the UFO Festival in June 30th through July 3rd in Roswell, New Mexico?
I'm in.
Floats full of aliens and spaceships lit up at night and hot air balloons and Halloween costumes and bizarre street festivals and surreal street performers. Are you guys in?
I'm in.
The people watching there might be pretty awesome. It's a maybe.
I guarantee you the people watching is going to be awesome. I guarantee
She's
you that.
She's so political. She is.
She's such a doctor. So how about in July, there's the Lebowski Festival in Louisville, Kentucky.
I'm just not as into the Lebowski thing as most or some. I'm not going.
No big Lebowski fans here. All right. Well, then.
I do like White Russians.
Yeah.
Well, then you're going to miss the Black Bear Combo Marching Band and the Bowling Party. I'm just telling you, you're going to miss those. This one's for Jamie specifically. How about the Chicken Show in July? And that's right. It is a chicken festival. It's in Wayne, Nebraska. It also appearing at the chicken show is the Chickendales, shirtless dudes with brown paper bags over their heads upon which chicken faces are drawn. And I have a picture of them. And let me tell you what, they've all been drinking, judging by their bellies. This is not the kind of Chippendales that you're used to.
I feel like a chicken festival would be more for like In like a carnivorous way.
Nope. This one is the they also have the, I'm sure they serve chicken, Jamie. They also have the national cluck off, where humans dressed as chickens shamelessly flap their arms loudly and cluck like chickens for prize money.
That's giving us chicken owners a bad name. I'm going to pass.
There's also the free chicken stories at the library.
Less educational.
There's also a rubber chicken cooking contest and a cement chicken auction. You guys not aren't in for any of this?
I don't even know what you're talking. I don't even know what you're saying.
The world's largest chicken dance, led by the local cheerleaders. There's that. You guys are boring.
You're welcome for that. That's going to be in your head for the next 9 hours.
I can't say the next one. It's in New Orleans, and it has a long Spanish name. But you've heard of the running of the bulls in Spain?
Yes.
Well, this is kind of like that. There is a running, and there are people running, but instead of being chased by bulls, they're chased by the local sexy roller skating women from the Big Easy Roller Girls.
I think you're in.
They're scary, though. Have you seen some of those roller derby girls? They are tough.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't want to be chased
that
by them. By the way, not surprisingly, there is a hangover party the day after, complete with skit contest, dramatic readings, and Hemingway look-alike contest. So there's that.
Bunch of hot guys.
Ooh, I might that be sounds in awesome. For that one, to be honest. Sounds kind of fun.
Chelsea's in. All right, we got two for Chelsea, one for Jamie. Oh, all right, let's see. Now we're getting good. How about the mooning of the Amtrak on July the 9th in Laguna Niguel, California? Laguna Niguel. So this is the story. There's a bar there called the Mugs Away Saloon, which is located near the train tracks. Well, they got drinking in 1979, and they started daring people to go out to the chain link fence and moon the trains that were going by. Well, it becomes such a big thing. It's now a festival, along with wet t-shirt contest, Mardi Gras style bead flashing, and a healthy amount of gratuitous nudity, including where they all line up by the hundreds along the fence and moon the trains going by on July the 9th.
And where is that? Because I'd like to get on that train.
Laguna Niguel, California. Yes. So
buy my train ticket.
By the way, these are not all fat dudes doing this. Judging by the picture, there are actually some good-looking people in the lineup along the fence. So there's that. Tied it up for that one, Chelsea?
I don't know. I'm getting... butts are old news, man. I'm used to that. I don't know. I'm going to pass on that one.
Oh, yes. I didn't think about what your job is. Okay, Chelsea's out. I get that. We'll give you a pass on that one. Oh my
God. She's seen enough.
All she does is see a butt along a fence and think, what's wrong with that? All right, I got it. Oh, here's one for you, Chelsea. This one's the other parts. It's Nudes a Poppin'. This is in Roselawn, Indiana, July 16th and 17th. And this involves copious amounts of naked men and women. It's at a nudist camp, and they get 10 to 20,000 people a year come to the Ponderosa Sun Club nudist resort and basically have, they have nude lineups and contests and Mrs. Nude Entertainer of the Year and Mr. and Mrs. Nude Entertainer of the Year. In for that one, that's the other parts.
I think I'm still shocked there's a nudist camp in Indiana. I didn't think we had those in the Midwest. I mean, that's pretty out there for us Midwest folk. You know?
It's a summer fest. It's a summer festival.
Oh, yeah. Usually you hide the nudity with country music and a lot of beer. Usually that's the cover, you know, if you really want to get naked and party. It's a country music fest. But, apparently no shame. Interesting.
Jamie,
I'm going to pass.
Are you in for the nude fest at the Ponderosa?
You know, I actually went to a all-inclusive resort in Jamaica and did not realize that half of it was you wear clothes and half of it was completely naked. And I had one of those moments of like, I made a wrong turn and I was like, oh my God, there's people that are naked playing life-size chess. Like, it's just not something that you need to see. So I'm going to say no simply because... they just bent over and picked them up.
I didn't really want to know.
You're welcome. You're welcome for that. I had to see it, and I realized that most of the people that are naked are not people that are naked that I want to see.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with a no.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. How about the great...
You're welcome for that.
How about the Great Texas Mosquito Festival?
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Oh, they have a mosquito chase. They have a dating thing where you actually throw washers, like the little round metal discs, and you go for distance, and then you have to date the person that threw it the longest. I don't know. It is a very strange festival. We'll skip the next one because Jamie is not in. Now, however, you grew up in Wisconsin, so you might be in. It's the Yale Baloney Festival in Yale, Michigan. So there's that. Jamie's out for the bologna festival.
I'm not a big bologna fan, but beer and cheese, those festivals are great.
I was going to say, beer and cheese festival sounds amazing. I'm in.
Well, you have those up there, right?
Those ones are great.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Many, actually.
Well, I have the ultimate
one.
And
the beer changes with the season.
Oh, there. That's perfect.
I'm in.
You guys are in for the stout beers up there, too. You're not in for no lights. No Michelob Light.
Very true.
All right, here's the last one. August 3rd through the 6th, for those of you that couldn't find a festival to go to yet, it's the Testy Festy in Rock Creek, Montana. I'm just going to read it because I can't do it justice. True, there are several festivals in America where you can eat animal testicles. But how many...
Oh, my God.
But how many feature an undie... How many feature an Undy 500 of grown men and women racing tricycles in their underwear, a wet t-shirt contest, and a big balls contest where your man's you-know-whats are judged by a panel of women? Held on a ranch somewhere between Missoula and Butte Creek in Montana. It's the biggest party of the year. And it also includes eating bull ball eating contest and on and on. How is Uncle Jimmy's not the title sponsor for this?
Because he doesn't want those type of people. Did you know you can Wikipedia that and it's called the Testicle Festival?
Yeah, they just put Testy Festy here. That's what the... I think they were trying to be politically correct.
I don't know why I felt like I had to Google that.
Are you seeing the cut?
That was
you?
My first question.
I didn't need to die. You know, let's move on.
Well, that's my last one for the day. So I don't think we've done... Oh, well, there is one from Wisconsin, and I bet you've been to this one. It's in... How do you say it? Prairie du Sac... How do you say that town?
Duchesne. Prairie du Chien.
No, it's D-U-S-A-C. Prairie du Sac. Sac. We're stuck on sacs today. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Anyway. It's the
Wisconsin.
Yes, Prairie du Sac. There we go. Wisconsin State cow chip throwing.
I have not been to it, but I know people who have gone.
Yes, and did they actually throw it?
They do throw it, and there's, in true Wisconsin fashion, lots of beer and cheese. Yeah.
There we go. Beer, cheese,
now,
and
are
food.
Are these people now doctors, Chelsea, along with you? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. We don't need to.
Some maybe, but, you know, de-identified. We'll leave it there.
Well, I just thought, being the kind of doctor you are, this would be your festival.
There is no shortage of poop jokes.
No,
you know, from the horse life to the professional life.
No, I bet you you've heard them all too. I bet you've gotten every poop joke there ever has been. Every butt joke, every proctologist joke. Oh, all right. Well, we're going to let you go on that note. Thank you, Chelsea. Yes.
Thank you, Chelsea. I'm sorry,
all
Chelsea.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Calls in on vacation, talking about being a doctor, and all of a sudden she's like, the victim of proctologist jokes. I mean,
she's at the Jiffy Lube, for God's sake. What? This is the most fun anybody's ever had at a Jiffy Lube. Let's be honest.
You know what? As a trainee proctologist, I bet she had to work her way up from the bottom. That's hilarious.
That's pretty good, actually. All right, we're gonna go on that. We're gonna take a break for
wait, but one time this doctor told me he found something very alarming in my colonoscopy. It was a clock. Oh! I had a colonoscopy recently, and believe it or not, the camera up there, the camera doesn't hurt as much as you think. It's the crew that's the killer. I had a colonoscopy yesterday, and I think the doctor got carried away because I had to say to him, I'm like, can you back that up a little? My throat is starting to hurt.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Did you know that easy keepers and horses on restricted diets are often at risk for vitamin and mineral deficiencies? Most easy keepers are maintained on hay, and some get a few handfuls of grain a day, and most of these horses get little to no green grass. Diets that don't include significant levels of green grass or recommended amounts of fortified concentrates just don't supply enough vitamins and minerals. Many horse folks don't realize that hay alone, even high-quality green hay, is not an adequate source of many vitamins. For example, when grass is cut and dried for hay, the vitamins quickly lose their potency. 70% of the vitamin E found in grass is lost in the first week after it is cut for hay. One way to ensure that your special needs horse is getting all the vitamins and minerals he needs is to add a vitamin and mineral supplement to his diet. A well-balanced supplement will provide the nutrients your horse requires without adding unwanted calories, starches, and sugars. Microphase, made by Kentucky Performance Products, is a vitamin and trace mineral supplement that bridges the gap in your feeding program. With Microphase, your horse receives adequate and balanced vitamin and mineral nutrition without unwanted calories or other ingredients. The minerals in Microphase have been chelated, a process that protects minerals during digestion and increases their absorption in the intestine. Microphase provides vitamins, such as vitamin E, in a natural form, so your horse receives optimal results from this supplement.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. I am so excited because, for once, I am speaking to somebody that I've been listening to for what seems like 35 years in podcasting, Matt Hochberg, and we're going to be talking a little bit today about his Royal Caribbean podcast, the Royal Caribbean blog, but he also did a podcast for a very long time about Disney, and that's where I started with you.
Glenn, thank you for having me on here. Really appreciate it.
I lived many vicarious moments at Disney with you guys. Many, many over the years.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. But today we're talking about Royal Caribbean. The Horse Radio Network is sponsoring its first, what we're calling, Horse Lovers Cruise 2018 in February. And we're going on Royal Caribbean and Enchantment of the Seas out of Miami for 4 nights. And I wanted to have you on. One, I wanted to introduce the blog to everybody, because everybody that's thinking about going or has already signed up should definitely check out the blog. Go read it. When did you start Royal Caribbean Blog?
You know, I started it back in 2010. I was going on Oasis of the Seas, which at the time was the largest cruise ship in the world, and it got me thinking.
I'm doing that shortly in a couple weeks.
See? Exactly. And I was so excited for it. I'm sure you're going through this as well. It's like, oh, man, you know, it's coming up. And, you know, I was like, oh, I really would love to be able to, you know, share some of that experience on the ship. And it kind of got me thinking about starting a blog about it, because as you mentioned earlier, Glenn, you know, I've been really invested in the Disney World community. So it got me thinking about something. I didn't have any of these lofty dreams about, you know, where I am today, but I was just like, you know, let me just put something down on quote unquote paper. And it was born in 2010, and it's organically grown since then. It's been wonderful.
I bet. And it really, I mean, you have so much information for people that are looking to cruise. And that's, by the way, the first thing we did when we were looking on which cruise we wanted to do in May after not having done a cruise in 20 years. We went to your blog and I started reading about the ships and the ports and started reading about the different cruises. And that's basically how we decided which one we were going to go on, how we ended up on the Oasis out of Port Canaveral, other than it's really close to us. But it was... that's one of the reasons we made that decision was your blog.
I appreciate that. You know, there's so much information that so many questions people have about a cruise, and certainly trying to answer that and provide that kind of information, I think is fun because it's, you know, when people really trying Royal Caribbean Cruise is great, but, you know, being prepared and knowing also being able to help folks out, that's the wonderful part, right? And I think that folks like yourself, especially everyone who's going to maybe be trying out a Royal Caribbean Cruise for the first time, or maybe even just a cruise in general for the first time with this Horse Lovers Cruise 2018, I got to tell you, it is a really fun and exciting time because it's kind of interesting because there's obviously a lot of similarities to some other experiences you may have had on land-based vacations, but it's totally different on a cruise ship, and it just is so fun, and it's such a cool experience. And when you do it with friends like you're going to be doing, Glenn, I think you're going to have a phenomenal time.
Well, and we have a lot of people who are going to be doing their first cruise. This is the first time they thought about it. The only reason they thought about it is we said, hey, we're doing a cruise, or they wouldn't be mm-hmm. going on one. So for those new people, for the people doing it the first time, what I tried to explain is that going with a group is the best way to do your first time cruise.
Oh, absolutely. Because everything is better with friends, including first cruises. And I think that when you're going on a group cruise for the first time, it handicaps a little bit more because you're not so self-reliant. You get to lean on your friends to help it with every aspect of the plan. Maybe somebody discovers a cool excursion to do while you guys are in NASA. Or maybe someone reads something on RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com about an interesting activity or show or what have you on Enchantment of the Seas. And it kind of you can feed off that. And you're all going to have different kind of experiences. And I love being on board the ship, Glenn, having like dinner with somebody or sitting down for breakfast. And what inevitably you're going to be chatting about your experience on board. And that's the best way to learn about new things and be more informed is to be able to talk with other folks who understand what you're going through and also be able to share their experiences. I think that's really the key.
Well, and we've been telling everybody that, well, we used MEI Travel because of you too, by the way. So, you know, MEI Travel is, and she's been terrific. We have Michelle over there and she's just been great to deal with. But we're all going to be eating dinner together. She's booked a block of rooms together or block of tables together for us at dinner. And I just think that, you know, that's what's really going to make this. We have a few activities planned, but, you know, one of the things we didn't want this to be, there's been a couple of cruises, not too many, a couple of cruises in the past in the horse world that have been conference cruises where you go into rooms and listen to professional riders talk about this or that and taking care of your horse. It's like, I don't want to go on a cruise and sit in a room. I just don't want to. So this is a party. We can't write it off because of that. And I don't care because I can't imagine myself sitting in a room while all those people are having fun outside. I just can't picture it.
No, absolutely. I think you're doing it. First of all, by virtue of the fact you're using a travel agent, and thank you again for using a sponsor of ours, MEI Travel. I've been using MEI Travel for a number of years. You know that, Glenn, already. But a travel agent in general, I tell people all the time, what's something I'm a new cruiser, what should I do? The number one thing I always tell them to do is to use a travel agent. It makes your life easier. And I am all about making my life easier. There's so much that goes into it. I mean, if you're new to cruising, I mean, I'm sure you're going to have a ton of questions. That's very natural. Everyone does. Even someone like myself, I still have questions. And having a travel agent just they're there to help you all along the way from when you book all the way through, including on board the cruise. Look, unfortunately, sometimes there are discrepancies. There could be an issue or you just have a common question. They're there to help you make your life easier. And by virtue of the fact you're using a travel agent, Glenn, I think you're already like you've avoided so many problems that could have otherwise come up that I think you guys are off to the right track just to begin with. Without ever set foot on the ship or done anything else.
I'm going to give you a minute here to give a sales pitch for Royal Caribbean and going on this group cruise. What would your sales pitch be?
You know, Royal Caribbean really offers a lot for everyone. I think it's a family experience and a group experience. And that's what's wonderful about it because some of the places you go And it kind of skews towards one thing. You go to, you know, a local theme park, or you go to a zoo. You know, maybe there's some folks that are involved in it, invested in it, but, you know, there's not something for everyone necessarily. But with the cruise, there's something for everybody going on. You can, and it's really create your own adventure. You can go sit by the pool and just relax all the time. You can go do the shows. The kids can go to the club or not do any of that. You can do as much or as little as you want. It's your control. And what I love about it is, you know, one of the concerns you mentioned earlier, Glenn, was about being bored, right? Being confined. It's the opposite of that. There is so much going on, but it's your choice as to what you want to or not participate in. And if anything, you're going to get off the ship at the end and you'll be like, oh my gosh, not only do I have to go back on, but I didn't do everything. I want to do more. And that's really the really fun appeal of it, is being able to have so much to do at your fingertips. It's incredible.
You've heard it from the expert, Royal Caribbean Blog. And where can they find the podcast?
Everything you can find at RealCaribbeanBlog.com. We've got links for the podcast. We do Periscope, Facebook Live, and of course, blog posts every day at RealCaribbeanBlog.com.
Well, that was it was fun to talk to him, because I've been listening to him do his podcast for almost 10 years. He was doing it longer than us for the Disney podcast, and so it was fun to get to talk to him. I have a special interview coming up on Stable Scoop, one of my Glenn's non-horsey interviews, where we talk shop a little bit, and that'll be happening when we're on our cruise, actually, in a couple of weeks. You'll find that. and also, I did want to announce that I think we're up to almost 30 cabins booked, like 60 people. So wow. Definitely. If you're interested in coming, get your deposit down. The rates will not go down. They'll probably go up as we have to book more blocks of rooms. So definitely head on over and do that today. And he is the only podcaster that talks faster than me.
He did. He sounded like a salesman for sure.
He actually is a website builder, which, so we had a lot in common having done that in my past. But yeah, he talks faster than me. I was like, yes, I don't feel so bad about myself now.
Nice.
Jennifer's working on getting our guest on here.
Oh, I think he's ready, actually. Right, we've got our first guest on, our next guest on, and his name is Steve Taylor, and Steve is with the Appaloosa Horse Club. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us. Tell me, what is your role in the Appaloosa horse world?
Well, on a good day, I get to be the CEO of the Appaloosa Horse Club, which is headquartered here in Moscow, Idaho. A lot of people don't realize when they see the sign that says Appaloosa Horse Club that we're actually the international breed registry for Appaloosa horses. So we have members all over the world and certainly scattered all over the U.S.
Gotcha. Okay. So the Appaloosa Horse Club, I'm on your website. It's appaloosa.com. The mission statement is to honor the heritage and promote the future of the Appaloosa horse. Now, give us a little bit of the background of the most recognizable horse on the planet.
Well, yeah, we sure like to think so. And it's really fascinating, the history of it, because there have been spotted horses found at cave paintings in France and Mongolia and a variety of other places around the world. So we're not quite sure how long spotted horses have been around, but certainly as far as the breed here in the U.S. Getting started, it was a lot like the other stock horse breeds. Many of the horses came with the Spanish, and there's also a documentary out that offers the theory that they also came over from Asia via the land bridge when it existed, but partly because of the Indian struggles and a lot of horses being lost and strayed and borrowed and stolen, ended up with a concentration here in the Northwest, and which is why when the breeders got together back in 1938 to form the registry, most of those first foundation horses came from Washington, Oregon, Idaho area up here called the Palouse Country, which is another connection to the breed, because the horse came from the Palouse, it became a Palouse horse, and then it became an Appaloosa horse, and so that part of it is pretty interesting to us. But really, we're very similar to the other stock horse breeds. One of the things that makes us a little unique is that you can have an Appaloosa mare and outcross her to either a quarter horse or a thoroughbred or an Arabian and still have a registered Appaloosa because of the color patterns that come through, and there's been some recent research done on the genetics of that LP gene, which provides the coat colors, and it's really been fascinating to see what technology can do to help us understand even more about the horses that we have.
And now, as far as the colors go, what are, because you see the blanket and then the leopard and then the, what are some of the colors names called and describe them?
Well, gosh, you know, there's a little bit of everything. Obviously, we have a base color, which can be chestnut, sorrel, bay, whatever. And then we have spots over the hips. We have spots over the body. We have spots on a roan. We have... You know, just pretty much everything you can think of in a horse. And it's fascinating also because you can have a solid bay quarter horse mare and breed her to an Appaloosa stallion and get the wildest color pattern you've ever seen. So those color genes are definitely dominant when they get a chance to express themselves. On the other hand, it's still, over the years, it's about a third of the horses that we register are born solid without a coat pattern. So that's why we still consider ourselves a breed by blood. And those horses, again, we were one of the first breeds, I think, to take the step forward to allow those solid horses to compete or participate in our events and shows. And that certainly helped us out a lot in terms of participation and the number of folks who have a chance to do something with their horse.
Is when a breeder breeds a spotted horse to a spotted horse and then they get a solid horse, are they like, no, or are they like, oh cool,
well obviously they're disappointed if they in most cases, but certainly now at least they know they've got an opportunity to register the horse and participate in events through what we call a performance permit. But yeah, most breeders are certainly hoping for color.
Gotcha. Okay, so they basically, if they don't have spots, they have to do some further testing or like they can't just be registered and shown. They have to go through something else or no?
Right. In order to get that performance permit, we have to have a DNA test done on that horse to make sure it's who they say it is. And that's really the only extra step involved, is that we require the DNA on those.
On the solid. Now, what is the wildest color that you have seen in the registry?
I guess probably there's been some horses that looked like they were leopards, but they might also have a big splotch of white somewhere, or they might have, I guess the strangest ones are the ones that have color in the front half of their body and not the back. You don't see that very often, but it is pretty crazy.
Do you have a wall with pictures of all the weird ones that come in? You know, they look like they're a toaster or some design on them makes it look like something. You have to have a wall. Please tell me.
We do have a secret file of unusual.
It's not a secret anymore, my friend. No, it's like that, you know, when you go to Disney World, when I was a kid, there was a cow that had like Mickey Mouse head on it.
Exactly.
And I would imagine that like, oh, this one spells my name or something like that, the spots.
Well, it is funny because I know all breeds get this sometimes, but you know, there'll be markings either on the body or the head that's, looks like a specific number or some kind of symbol. And of course that leads to people naming their horse after the number 7, for example, or whatever. But a lot of unusual things can happen with coat patterns.
Gotcha. Now you said that they're the Appaloosa's breed and namesake and point of origin is the Palouse region. So that's how they got the name Appaloosa, is because of the region in the Northwest.
That's exactly right, yeah. And, of course, after the Indian Wars of the 1870s, a lot of those horses ended up here because the Nez Perce Flight to Freedom, as it's called, ended in over in northern Montana. And a lot of those horses just got wandered off or got given away or stolen or whatever after the Indians were relocated. So it basically became... the country they were familiar with. The Nez Perce tribe itself here in Idaho was not necessarily focused on breeding Appaloosa horses, but they did have quite a few of them in their band. And when you think about it, in that flight to freedom, there were close to 2,000 horses that were moving with the people, some 1,300 miles from beginning to end of the trail. So a lot of things could have happened along the way, but certainly the farmers and ranchers up in this part of the country ended up with those horses too, and a lot of folks prized them for the fact that they were sure-footed and certainly had endurance beyond what they had been used to, so they became pretty valuable.
Now, is there a reason that I have known many, many Appaloosa horses that really don't have tails? I mean, come on. Why can't they have these big...
You know, I have a theory about that. I don't know that there's any science behind it at all, but I'll tell you what my theory is. After the Indian Wars, a lot of the Appaloosas that were captured by the Army were crossed with heavier draft-type horses so they could pull wagons and cannons. And that's where some of those horses back in the old days came up with larger-than-normal heads and feet and sparse manes and tails. And that's the theory that I'm going to stick with, because we sure have a lot of Appaloosas with wonderful tails and full manes and stylish heads and small feet. So that was never actually a trait that anybody was looking for on purpose, I don't think.
Gotcha. Now, what are some of the sports that we see Appaloosas compete in the most?
Well, pretty much like all the other stock horse breeds, we've got certainly horses that can compete in everything from cutting and reining and roping events to competitive trail, endurance rides, a lot of pleasure horses, certainly. And we have found they're really good for youth exhibitors because of their disposition, temperament, willingness to work, and a lot of those attributes that I suppose every breed claims to have, but we certainly believe in those being a part of the Appaloosa profile. But we have Appaloosas that participate in dressage events. We've got racehorses, just about every discipline you can think of. We've got Appaloosa horses participating in them.
There's an Appaloosa racehorse like organization?
Well, we actually have a race program here at the Appaloosa Horse Club. Most of our breeders now are in the Texas and Oklahoma area, a few here in Idaho and Utah and scattered around in some other regions of the West. But we've kind of gotten to the point now where there aren't as many opportunities for our horses to race. So most of the races are there in Oklahoma and Texas. And we often have combined paint and Appaloosa races.
Oh my gosh. So in my experience, the Appaloosas I've ridden have all been super like calm and quiet. It'd be like the snail race.
Like the, well, if you cross your
tortoise and the hare
with a nice racing. Yeah. You can cross them with a nice thoroughbred though and get some pretty fast horses. We have several record holders in our breed, and over the years it's been fun to read about, back in the 80s, for example, and 70s, there were some match races with quarter horses and thoroughbreds that our horses were able to come out on top. So we've always had some dedicated breeders who were just focused on speed.
Wow. We did just meet California Chrome. Can you imagine breeding California Chrome to like big old leopard Appaloosa? My gosh, that'd be awesome.
That would work for me. You bet. I'd go for that.
Well, Steve, the website is appaloosa.com, and if anybody wants to go find out more, definitely check that out. And where can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can certainly call us at the office number that's also on that website, and we'll be happy to visit with them. But I just want to brag one more time about the fact that this summer we'll be having the 70th consecutive National Appaloosa Show down in Fort Worth.
Cool.
And we'll be having the 53rd consecutive Chief Joseph Trail Ride, and we're starting over this year in Joseph, Oregon, and people might want to check that out on the website as well. And then I'll also brag about the fact that we have an award-winning monthly magazine, the Appaloosa Journal, which is getting ready to publish its 770th consecutive issue, so I'm really proud of those folks.
Wow.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations, Steve, on all the work you guys are doing. It's the Appaloosa Horse Club, appaloosa.com. Steve, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, that was neat. And, you know, we see a lot. I'm seeing more Appaloosas at English shows now. You're starting to see them show up at English shows now more and more. And I think maybe that's because of the way they are breeding them.
I've known a couple of venting Appaloosas, and they all just have like the dock of the tail. So every time they jump, this little like thing flips up, you know.
Now, are they docking the tails, or they're not growing tails?
They just don't have hair on
really?
Their tails.
Is that what it
like,
is?
Like 10 strands. I don't know. But like Steve said, he had a theory. So
I mean, his theory sounded as good as any other theory to me.
Why not? I don't know any different.
And you know that they had some way back. They definitely had some draft warts in them, right? The way a lot of the old ones are built. So cool. Very good. I know we see a lot of Appaloosas around here because they're used, you know, extensively in trail riding and things here in Florida. So you see a lot of them in Florida. Can you imagine, though, all their white spots? Do you have to worry about sunburn on every little white spot?
Do you have to get one of those, like, car wash sunscreen things?
Yes.
Just spray the whole thing.
That's the first thing I thought of, was all those white spots here in Florida. And you, too, out in Arizona. Like, sunburn
central. We have
central.
A POA, which is, I think, the breed highlight we did before led me to know that it was Appaloosas and Shetland ponies. And the little guy here, his name is Jacob, Little Pony, he has a pink wiener. And I was like, when they bought him, I told the owner.
I was drinking water.
He has a pink wiener. And they were like, I said, you know, common out here is skin cancer on the Appaloosas because the sun here is so strong. And the mom was like, we don't have to put sunscreen on his wiener, do we? I said, I'll just leave him in during the day. You'll be okay.
Boy, this is a show today. We seem to be on one track. All right, let's go to really bad ads and see if it gets any better. Although I have my
poor
doubts.
Poor little 12-year-old girl, like, I know you're gonna
let that. If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
I have to say, when we say it's Freestyle Friday, this is the most freestyle we've had on a Friday in a long time. We're gonna do really bad ads now, and I was also disturbed at how many proctology jokes. You know, we're gonna do really bad ads right now, and Jennifer is going to tell us what the prizes are. We have some terrific prizes this month.
Glenn, wait a second. Yeah. I just saw the video of my colonoscopy. The picture was crap. Sorry, carry on. What's the prize, Jen?
I don't think she's gonna. I think she left.
We have two prizes this month, and I'm sure our prize providers are so proud right now.
I'll mute Jamie. Okay, go ahead.
All right. In reverse alphabetical order, our first prize is a pair of Smooth Stride riding jeans. Woohoo! You get a pair of extended knee patch Smooth Stride riding jeans to the winner of this month's Really Bad Ads. Choose the length you want. They come in 31, 33, or 36. And you pick two sizes, the ones you think will fit and one other, and they send them both to you. You keep the one you love, and the other pair goes back in a prepaid envelope. They call that the Colt Special. That way, they make sure you get a pair that are your favorites. Everybody here at the Horse Radio Network just loves Smooth Stride riding jeans, and you can find out more at smoothstride.com. Also, this month, we have a $50 gift card from Kelly Hurd Jewelry. Woohoo! Kelly Hurd Jewelry offers fine equestrian jewelry, including beautiful necklaces, earrings, pendants, and bracelets. Each piece of Kelly Hurd equestrian jewelry is finely crafted with every attention to detail and quality. Make your choice and know that you are getting the best. Kelly Hurd jewelry is made of gold and sterling silver. You can find unique gold jewelry items set with fine gemstones, including diamonds. Woohoo! Sterling silver jewelry is set with cubic zirconia, making them a wonderful, affordable choice. And you can learn more at KellyHurdJewelry.com.
Thank you, Jennifer. And the first one up is actually one of our listeners. Let's take a listen to Scott Kreidler.
Hi, this is Scott from Lake Anna, Virginia, and I've got a bad ad from Richmond from someone looking for a horse. And apparently punctuation, as there isn't any, except for one apostrophe where there shouldn't be. I'm looking for a horse. I'm looking for a horse just for light riding once and a while. Will have a good home. A older one would be good. And also do pets seats for people while they are out of town. Horses, cats, dogs, chickens for them. And that's the ad.
What?
That's it, huh? I'm not sure. I think we got a pet sitting ad with the horse ad all in one. It's a bonus.
Oh my gosh. Bad ads are entertaining to listen to.
Now you know what everybody else feels like. And I have not had a chance to read mine today. I normally read them ahead, but I was too busy trying to fix everything. So here we go. Prince Teton Farm. Prince Teton Farm. Hello. Would you happen to have a horse or pony that you are interested in selling? I am wanting to purchase a horse for my children to grow up with. That is why it is preferable that the horse be around a year old or less.
Oh, God.
I would like to train it myself and guide it into being a family or pet member. I am looking at around $1,000 or less, but let's talk about it. I can guarantee you that the horse will be well cared for and loved. Please contact me through Craigslist email, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you for your time in reading this.
Go ahead. Play it.
I don't have it. I didn't have a chance to read ahead, and I don't have green on green is black and blue.
It's just the absolute dumbest thing I've ever heard of when people say, we want to get a baby and have my kids grow up together.
And you know damn well these people have never had a horse before.
No.
You know that.
This horse will be in 3 months so out of control that they're going to have to rehome it. Oh gosh. You know what? I mean, I have a almost 4-year-old child and a foal, and there is zero chance that I would let them spend any time together at all. Like, you can pet her from outside the fence if I'm standing right there. Like, terrible idea. I don't even go in the pasture with her because she's so crazy and out of control, rears, bucks, kicks at you. She's just playing like this. She's a foal. Don't buy your children a foal. All right. I'm going to call her. Give me her number.
Next one up is Casey. Let's see here. I got to get Casey a different way because Casey's file came through funky. And oh, guess what? It got closed. Hold on.
You want me to
read
the
next one?
Yeah, do
your next one and I'll get Casey ready.
Tammy sent this one in. It's Lady's Horse is the title. Kansas. His name is Junebug, but the kids call him Bacon. 15-year-old gelding, just under 16 hands, easy to catch. First one to you in the pasture. In your pocket, steal your cell phone, eat your french fries, up in your business kind of guy. Kick him in the chest. Trail rides and we'll tie on a picket line. We'll stand for baths, vet, and farrier. Loads and hauls like a dream. Has been ridden by my teenage daughter and her giggling girlfriends. He is full of personality and is a ham egg grad ordinaire. But here's the catch.
He's going, this is too good to be true. Why do we even have this ad?
But here's the catch. Yeah. He's a lady's horse. Literally, this guy is non-tolerant of male humans on his back. I cannot stress this enough. We don't know why.
I think we do.
We've tested his preferences several times with definitive results. And if you get my drift, let me say it again. If you have a external ATL plumbing, do not bother to call me about this horse unless you're wanting to purchase him for your daughter, wife, girlfriend, sister, aunt, or grandma. $1,000.
Whoa. It makes you wonder exactly what he does to men. Does he kick them? Does he bite them? Does he?
if you have external plumbing, of course, that's all misspelled, but you have external plumbing, do not bother. As opposed to internal plumbing is okay. Just ask the proctologist.
Non-tolerant. Well, I did find Casey's. Here we go.
Free Kitties, Jacksonville, Illinois. I have 4 kitties in my bathtub needing a new home. Don't freak out. It's empty. But tomorrow I want to bathe in it, so I need them gone. And they don't respond to commands like sit or stay, so I can't just let them roam around to get lost under furniture. They were found in my attic, and a dead cat was found in my backyard, which may be their mother, though I'm not sure of that, so immaculately conceived kittens found on Easter weekend may still be an option if that's what you're looking for. There's a tabby one, which is super cute, even though he scratched me in my face. There's one I'm told is a tuxedo cat, so if you're someone looking for a pet to take to classy events, this one is for you. There's also a grayish, whitish one. Nothing too special about him, but don't tell him I said that, because he doesn't deserve to be loved less just because I don't know what they call his color pattern. The last one is all black, perfect for the witches around here who want to work on making him talk or something. They're free. No charge. Just please someone take them so I can bathe tomorrow. I don't know their age, their sex, their ancestry, their preferred language. I only know they lived in my attic for at least 4 days, but probably their whole lives until today.
Oh my God.
I don't know what to say.
No bath for you.
I love how she clarified there in the bathtub, and it's empty.
It is empty, but I'm not drowning the kittens.
It won't be shortly if I don't get rid of these kittens. I got to take a bath. Oh, that was well read, by the way. That was very well read there, Casey.
Good job.
Although it sounded like she was under the water, didn't it? It sounded like she was. For Brenna sent the following one in. 14-year-old registered quarter horse, $1,500 in Athens, Wisconsin, up there in Dr. Chelsea's territory. 14-year-old registered quarter horse. She will be 15 at the end of the month. I have not found anything she has not gone through or that she seems to shy away from. She's good with traffic signs and water. She stands and loads good. She is the perfect beer drinking trail horse.
Wisconsin, baby.
There you
beer
go.
Beer and cheese.
Beer and cheese. Beer and beer cheese. And cheese.
The next one, we don't really need to read it because it the ad just says horse trailer.
Yeah, it's pretty much self-explanatory. Oh, my God.
What would you describe the
lovely
color?
Well, it's a little
color.
Bigger than our usual two-horse round-fronted trailer. This is more of a gooseneck round-fronted four-horse trailer that the door has, well, the whole thing is completely rusted from head, and it's about 25 feet long. And I did notice that when the door fell off of the people door on the side fell off, they took a door off of their camper and put it on the trailer.
Exactly,
and probably the camper fell apart too, and they just salvaged the door and put it on the trailer. There's a camper door, a white camper door on the side of the rust-colored trailer. It's very unusual
beautiful.
Looking.
Really beautiful.
Now, we can't see the wheels because, once again...
There's a can of beer in the window. Somebody's living in it.
There is a can of beer in the window. Look, it's Pabst Blue Ribbon. How about that? And then you can't see the wheels. We don't know if the wheels are flat because they're completely surrounded in vegetation.
Although it looks like they just tried to, like, weed whack around it, but they just didn't get down deep enough.
You know how tall the weeds were before they took this picture? There's a tree growing underneath it as well. You're going to have to cut that down before you get
you have to remove that.
It's been there a while. The tree has grown up.
Beautiful, beautiful color.
How much they want for this? Does have $1,400. God. What's
that? All it needs is a little paint.
There's a shelf.
Door.
Do you see the shelf out from the door? I don't know what that is. It's like a walk step. I've never seen that on a trailer like this before. Oh, well.
I can't see it because it's covered in weeds. Kayla sent in the next one. The title is Wait In on a Woman, $500. Registered 16-3 hand 10-year-old mare, retired from the track. I've only had AKA woman for 4 weeks. So here is what little info I have on her. Good on fences. Does not tie. Was thin when I got her, so I haven't tried to ride her. I've given her one bath. She did fine. Will not load in a two-horse straight load. Will load in a two-horse slant load. At no fault of her own, woman is looking for her own person. $500. I'm getting out of horses. You've only had this one 4 weeks. Like, in 4 weeks, like, so this horse has broke you. This horse broke you.
Yes.
If you text me asking a bunch of questions pertaining to everything I just talked about in this ad, let's simply not waste each other's time. Cash and local sales only. Update. Tomorrow, I will start riding woman. If she is broke, her price will go up.
Love that he calls her woman. No redneck.
Hey, woman.
This had to be in the South.
Oh, it had to be.
It had to be in the South. All right. Well, I hope woman finds a good home. Joy sent the following one in. Arabian gelding horse for sale, $800 in Beaverton. I think it's Pennsylvania. Register able, but don't have the paperwork. Of course you don't. And
that's it?
That's it. Oh, that's it. I would thought the rest of it went with it. That's it.
That's the ad.
Well, we know it's an Arabian gelding, and it's $800, and it could be registered maybe if she ever finds the paperwork. That's what we
They don't have the paperwork.
No, they don't have the paperwork.
This next one comes to us from Miniature Horsemanship. That is your name, unless you put your name in the ad, just so you know. Your email is your name. One uncultured, unpapered. No, wow, this is selling it. Excuse me. I'm going to sell this thing. And it's Canada. So I feel like I should do a Canadian accent, but my Canadian accent sounds like my Australian English accent, so I can't do it.
Pretty much they all sound the same. Yeah.
Yeah. One uncultured, unpapered, non-registered, untrained, proud cut gelded horse. $750.
That makes me want to buy it.
I bet he's really nice. He is Canadian. Horace the horse was purchased as a companion for my mule, which I have since sold. Getting out of this equine thing altogether, and I'd like Horace gone sooner rather than later. About 5 or 6 years old, never seen a vet, but seems healthy enough. Color scheme as pictured. Can't see the picture. Breed? Question marks. About 14 hands, give or take, no guarantees. Will through.
Wait a minute. No guarantee on 14 hands?
Maybe. It could be 13, could be 15. We don't know, but we're not going to guarantee it, so it doesn't matter.
You know, of all the things you could say about a horse, that is the one thing you could pretty much guarantee.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's the most guaranteeable thing about the whole damn thing.
That's the thing that you can confirm right there. Yep. All right.
Will threw in saddle and pad for good measure. Not a kid's horse, not stable around mares. Any other questions, please feel free to ask, but don't be offended if I don't answer. Good sales job.
Really sell nothing. I have this crappy horse and I'm not going to talk to you about it.
No guarantees on the height.
And we seem to have you know how we always have a trend? Well, today's trend was we're all getting out of horses.
We're all getting out of horses. Shit. As of yesterday, I was ready to get out of horses too. I'll tell you why. I was driving in my driveway and apparently Little Magic has come into heat.
Oh no.
Little Magic is 12-1 maybe. And the only mare on the farm, right? Yeah, and her pasture mates include her two Mustang brothers, Thor and Zeus. Zeus doesn't care about really anything. However, Thor, being that he was born in the wild and was in the wild for 4 years, understands what it means to breed a mare, apparently, and mounts little 12-hand Precious Magic Gallop Jennings. And proceeds to do the deed, like the whole thing, except for the fact that he didn't realize his parts weren't working and there was nothing going on down there. But poor little Precious Magic Gallop Jennings is stumbling under the weight of my 16-hand, 1,500-pound ginormous Mustang. And poor little thing just was trying to get the hell away from him and was kicking at him. And he like laughed in the face of her tiny 12-hand little hoof and proceeded to do his job, which, of course, was was directly next to the arena, which was housing two small children that are getting riding lessons.
How'd you explain that?
Mommy, what is he doing? And I am out there with, I'm trying to separate the two because I've just driven in. I leap out of my truck. I'm honking the horn, trying to get things to break up. And Thor is ignoring me completely. The children are going, Mom, what's he doing? What is that? What's he doing? I've never seen that before. And the mom looks right at the child and goes, I've never seen that before either.
Big help, Mom.
Yeah.
I assume that the little one is now in a separate paddock and in isolation.
Yes. Until she's finished, she is in isolation. No, I don't have any Pez. Sorry, bud.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, oh, that's funny. That's the things you learn while living on a farm as a kid.
Why the heck do I get a dang mare? It just keeps happening to me.
I thought the mare was going to live over with the other mares at the other farm.
Not yet. I haven't weaned the mare.
Oh, yeah. One mare. Yeah, one mare, eight boys. Not good. Not a good ratio.
No. Not good.
Anyway, oh, and I did have a couple of messages from my flippant comment earlier. We're not closing the Horse Radio Network. I've just had a couple of frustrating days of technology days. So,
well, you're welcome. We end your week on this.
Yes, it's a perfect way to end the week.
Nerd Mustang.
The Horse Radio Network is not closing. For all you that just panicked, it's not. We're not going anywhere. We're fine.
No.
Glenn needs a vacation. It's pretty soon.
It's coming.
Eight days. It's on my wall. All right. Thank you.
Me saying that I entertained your Friday by describing my limp wienered Mustang leaping on a 12-hand pony. You didn't hear me say that.
All right, everybody. That's it. We're going to end on that note. Bye. Don't forget the Tasty Testies Festival coming up.
That's a good wiener show.
It did have a theme.